This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine. So, Macca, Fiona.
Actually, I'm going to ask, I think.
Can I just say, Tass, as far as I can...
We're all a little bit dumbstruck, aren't we?
As far as I can work out, Tass's first sort of the start of his regular appearances on Saturday Magazine, it was July 19, 2015, and it was 9 degrees on that day. And what we talked about that day...
Yeah.
Was Bronwyn Bishop, Choppergate.
Oh, yes.
We also had Roe Allen, Victoria's first gender and sexuality commissioner, explains what her new job entails. She's asked, you know, and we asked her about our community in rural Victoria.
And Macca, I think Pete Dillon was part of the show back then too.
He was, yes. And we also spoke with, and I know you remember this, Tass, the stargazer, Dr. Alan Duffy.
Oh, yes, I remember him.
Yeah, you got all moist, didn't you?
Excuse me.
Macca. Anyway, Stephen Russell was talking about his picks for the Melbourne International Film Festival, and we actually spoke with Darren Boyd about AFL and cricket.
I remember that.
There you go.
It was dull.
So, there you go. July 19, 2015.
Macca, I actually don't know how I got involved in this show, to be honest with you. What I do know is that for years I was behind the scenes chatting with Macca, feeding ideas to you, feeding talent, which is the language that I learnt from Pete Dillon, and helping to line up some of my networks and people that I worked with to be able to participate in the show. Never saw myself as being one of the voices, never saw myself as
and
being part
fact,
of it in that
and
way.
And in fact, if I might say at the time, some of the work you were doing actually precluded you from being on air.
I could have found other ways to do it. I could have been...
It was a bit...
I could have had a pseudonym, for example.
A pseudonym. That sounds quite stylish. I think that would be fun.
We'd have to disguise his voice so that he, you know...
Well, actually, I've got a funny story about that. Once I decided to complain on Talkback Radio...
Oh, yeah.
If I told you the story,
share it with the listeners.
So there was a planning issue, that was being debated, and I picked up the phone, dialed the number, and said, "Oh, look, it's John here from St Kilda, and I'm calling to complain about blah 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 blah." And literally 2 minutes later, I got a message from a very dear friend saying, "Hi, John from St Kilda."
Someone recognised your voice.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realise that I had such a recognisable voice. I suppose we all have. It's part of our footprint, I suppose.
As John Pizzuto said earlier in today's program, Centaurian.
Centaurian. Centaurian. Yeah, I didn't know that word.
I had to look it up as well.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's an accident that I really got involved. And I've loved it. I've had a really good time. It's been really great working with you guys. It's great being able to shape agendas and get sort of issues on the agenda and try to run a case and run a bit of a campaign. We always want to do it respectfully. We always want to do it carefully, of course, but it's been good fun.
Now, can I ask you a question, Tass? I think there's obviously a very good dynamic on air between yourself and Macca, and Macca's probably known a little bit more for his outspoken views on a lot of topics. I haven't seen you getting angry or highly emotional in trying to interview a subject. You're very calm and very polite. Do you ever lose your temper, or could you actually get a little bit more?
There's been a couple of cases, Tess.
You don't know me, Paul. I can lose my temper and I can get extremely angry. But there's no point on doing that on air, in my view. I think that what we always want to do is try to get the best out of our talent by engaging them in a respectful conversation.
And I think, you know, I'm not going to name specific instances. There are a couple of occasions where Tess has been terse with a guest on air. And because they weren't answering the question, in fact, they were talking bullshit. And he kept asking, and he called it out, and you could tell it in the tone, and listeners can pick it up in the tone, can't they, Tess? You
know, I think so.
We understand that.
I think so.
So, Tess, what was some of your highlights and lowlights for the year?
I feel incredibly grateful that, like other people have said in the studio this morning, that we've got... I have a great relationship. I have a home. I have a job. We had all the things that allowed us to get through what has been a really horrible year. So I feel very grateful about that.
You got a lot of really good food made for you.
Oh, yeah, I did, actually. Yeah. My partner makes pasta. In fact, we had purchased pasta for the first time all year last night. Normally Ian makes like fettuccine. How extraordinary is that?
How lovely.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Low light for me, and it's not a single thing, but I think for me what really upset me most of all during the course of the year was the divisions that really began to surface in our community, and the inequality. That's the thing that really upset me, and I've become much more aware of the importance and the value of very strong and clear and good leadership. And that's the way to actually deal with divisions and inequalities, by having really good leadership. And I love good leadership. I love seeing it. I aspire to that myself. And I look out for good leaders. And, you know, there's been a lot of commentary around Daniel Andrews and the leadership that he provided, and the way in which he fronted to the media every single day, told the story every single day, and made himself available to the press, and sometimes they were horrible to him, absolutely horrible to him. I acknowledge his leadership, and I acknowledge what he's done for us as a community and help us to drive us out of this incredibly difficult situation that we're in. But for me, the lowlight is the division. And I think of what's happened in the US and what's happened in the UK and many other parts of the world, and the way in which leaders have in fact fueled division for political gain and power. And that I find upsetting. I don't actually understand why anybody would want to have people who are in pain or are hurting or are suffering. Why would any leader want to allow that to happen? I don't get it.
Yep, it beggars belief.
I don't have an answer for it.
So, Tess, you know, the future, next year, 2021, we all want it to be better. I just want to briefly touch on, you know, it's not a great secret that you work in the health sector.
Yes.
And there's been some incredible challenges there. Was there a time, and I don't want you to name people, but was there a time around COVID where it was almost like you leant back in your chair and you went, oh, my God. You know, what was for you, what was the... I know you knew it was serious because we had a lot of discussions about this, but almost that head in the hands moment.
Yeah, I remember the exact moment, Macca. I was... in town for a briefing, and I was part of a briefing session about what we would expect and what we needed to do, and I went, OMG. The first thing I did was to call Ian and say, yeah, blah, 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 this is what's occurring. And he said, oh, just jump in an Uber and come back home immediately. And I said, no, I need to sit and think and sit with this moment and deal with it. And that was actually, I remember it very clearly, it was the 7th of March.
Wow.
The 7th of March.
That was around Grand Prix.
Yep, yep.
Yep.
Yep, that weekend. And and for me, a lot of that period post that was almost on autopilot. Mm. Like, I had no time to stop and reflect and think about it. We just had to get on with the job. Mm. And I've got something happening with my throat. I don't know what, though.
Do you want to take a quick glass of water there? We're losing his voice. Thank you. I remember that weekend so vividly. It was. I had my parents staying in Australia, and we actually went into lockdown and started working from home with Mum and Dad still in the house. And I'd bought Dad tickets for the Grand Prix for his birthday. And we got down there in the morning. We actually bumped into Sally Capp, had a quick chat with Sally, and then packed up and left home. And then that was it. You're right, Taz. It just happened overnight one night and everything ground to a halt.
Well, I'd been hearing about this thing called coronavirus back in January and as part of my work. And, you know, it was a little bit like, oh, here's another thing that we've got to deal with. We didn't really understand the impact that it was going to have in January. And it wasn't until about February that it was bubbling away. And then certainly by the end of February, it just went bang. And then I'll never forget that briefing on the 7th of March. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, OMG.
And one of the things, you know, Tash, you talked about leadership and your view on the Premier. You know, in the health services that you're the chair of, you know, they have been challenged like never before. And the people in those organisations, and, you know, everyone acknowledges the work of the health workers. You know, the reality is they now understand that they need to work so hard. They understand the risk. You know, they've worked together. And in a way, that's a big reflection of the way that Joy works. But again, it's a reflection of people wanting and needing clear leadership. And in the health sector, I think, you know, they've had that pretty much across the board. What do you see in 2021 that's going to be, what do you think is going to, and it's slightly different, your biggest challenge professionally and personally?
Can I just go back and say I am really proud of the way in which the organisations that I work with have been able to respond to this. I have nothing but pride. I have nothing more than admiration for the people who have been on the front line and people who've managed and responded to this. And it varies from people who, you know, have a role like managing a car park right through to performing complex surgery and everybody in between and everybody around them.
It's a tough gig.
They have been amazing. And never, ever, ever have I seen such admiration for people on the front line, first responders like that in our community. And I think that we need to actually step back a little bit and say, they're not the only ones who responded to this. What about the person that worked on the checkout in the supermarket?
Yes.
What about the person that worked in the pharmacy, you know, the whatever those pharmacies are called, the bright yellow ones, who turned up day after day and sold us the stuff that we needed to keep us ticking. You know, they are the people who are the real heroes here.
And everyone who kept working.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, there was a period where if you weren't an essential worker, you didn't, you know, you're on JobKeeper or whatever.
Yeah.
All of those people, you know, have kept us supplied with food, you know, kept society going. The health sector has been the most important, because without that, there'd be a lot.
Well, I mean, I'll take it out and say all first responders. I mean, I think police have had a really important role here.
Yeah.
AMBOs have had an important role here. The people who are working, you know, all those counsellors out there. I mean, all those phone support services have been in overdrive. I mean, I know people who volunteer for Lifeline and they've been working around the clock, you know, supporting people who are in absolute need. I have a lot of admiration and respect for those people like I've never had before.
Yeah.
That was me being grilled. But now we're actually going to have a final wrap-up. Final wrap-up for 2020.
Really, really, really simple. Two words actually say it all. They say it all to our listeners. They say it to our sponsors. They say it to our guests. They say it to everyone associated with joy. And those two words are thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a member. Thank you for being a sponsor. Thank you for putting up with the two grumpy old men interspersed with the occasional co-hosts on Boxing Day and the 2nd of January. We have a reprise show where we play the most popular podcasts of 2020. Paul and I are in here on Christmas Day from 9 a.m. until noon, and we've got all the guests lined up.
We've got all your favourites coming to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yes. But again, I want to say thank you. Thank you to the SatMag team, our listeners, everyone associated with the show. Thank you, because it's your show. We have the pleasure of presenting it to you. Be safe. Be COVID safe. Be kind. Be generous. At least for a week. Thank you again.
Thank you. And we wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, ho F ho.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.